does Larry Watson and his jazz group Workforce are performing at the first annual Promise Place School Boston Gala that takes place on Saturday, September 26th. And he's here to talk about the event and give us his spin on our LGBT issues. Hi, Larry.
Hello, hello. I'm honored to be here, and I'm even more honored to have been asked to be a part of such an important fundraising event, and I think it'll be great. I think we need to all continue to raise the conscious level of our entire community.
Tell us about your music.
My music is eclectic, and I like to refer to a term I borrowed from the great Aleta Adams. She calls it hymn music, so it's a play on words, but it's H-E-M, and my new book coming out is called A Hymn Music, Highly Emotional Music. And so that's what I do. I don't like the categories. I don't use categories usually, but the categories, like even the categories that define us in terms of our race or sexuality or whatever, I think are obsolete. So highly emotional music covers a wide variety of music that comes out of the African descent tradition. And the African descent tradition is almost synonymous with the American tradition because people of African descent have played such a profound role in creating and reinforcing and sending around the world a kind of music that is the great ambassador to America to the rest of the world.
What would you like to accomplish with your music?
What I have already accomplished with my music, what I continue to accomplish, is to have people to integrate their heart with their mind, to not be so cerebral, but to recognize the importance of cultural expression and how my one singing one song can do a great deal to change people's minds. I've often been on programs with people like Cornel West, and I sing for 3 minutes, and then Cornel West gets up and talks about what I just did for 8 minutes, and then he lectures for 40 minutes. And at the end, we both have reinforced the same idea, just that I did it in a song in 3.
How did you become involved with the Promise Place School Gala for LGBT youth?
Well, I have been involved in a number of community-driven fundraisers and events throughout my tenure in the New England area. I've lived in Boston since 1984, and I have performed throughout the New England area and the world, but particularly New England. One of my earliest, most fondest performances that came in the 90s was when Nelson Mandela was released from incarceration. And I was one of the artists on the Esplanade with Jackson Brown and several others that paid tribute to him. So I've always, in my work, tried to lend my name to all kinds of causes because I'm totally committed to the work of social justice. And whether it was me working with community change to eradicate racism or me working in the area to look at issues of all kinds of discrimination, me and my late friend Loretta Williams, were two of the first African Americans that did the first vigil that looked at the AIDS epidemic at the first Roxbury Church. This is a time when blacks in particular were afraid to even use the term, let alone go in a church with a multifaceted, multiracial, multigender group of people and actually acknowledge that our community had a problem. I remember working with the Red Cross and writing a song called Are You Worth Dying For? To raise the issue of homophobia and the issue of the AIDS epidemic while many black ministers were up in the pulpit proselytizing about going to hell and fire and brimstone, and they themselves are HIV positive. So I have lent my name to all kinds of events, whether they be racial civil rights or whether it be issues around gender equality. Whatever it is, I truly, totally believe, as the great Joshua Heschel said, some are guilty, but all are responsible. And so I try in my way to be as responsible as I can and use the music as a vehicle for social change.
What is your personal commitment to LGBT civil rights?
Well, I think that that personal commitment has grown over the years. I've written a musical called Still on the Journey. One of my friends, the late John Tucker, passed away in the 80s. And we attended Cornell together. He was a physician at Harlem Hospital, and he came to Boston to die. And he came to Boston to die because he was ashamed to share who he was with the community. And I felt that all of his friends, all of us, were guilty, that he didn't feel comfortable enough to talk to us about who he was. And so I think that as I looked at growing up as a child, and being an artist and being different that it's so easy for people to label one, and it's so unfair for people to categorize people sometimes in the way they do only for the purpose of discriminating. And so I think that people of African descent and many others have to step up to the plate, whether they be straight or gay or confused or enlightened, what have you, and speak out on any level of injustice. And it is an injustice, and it is wrong for us to marginalize children that may be transgender or children that may be gay or adults that may be because of our own incorrect reading of scriptures or our own warped politics that doesn't help us to recognize the oneness of humanity.
LGBTQ teens are 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers, and we continue to have numerous teens taking their own lives after facing bullying incidents. What advice would you have for these kids?
I think that's a very difficult question because the onus of that doesn't always rest with the kids, but rests with a repressive society that constantly echoes notions of one's inadequacies and one not fitting the norm. And so even if we take that question and expand it to look at the number of black homicides in the black community, I would argue that it's not homicide, that it's really suicide, that black heterosexual males look in the eyes of another black male and they see themselves, and they don't always like what they see because society has told them that they're ugly or they're deficient, and so they shoot that person in front of them. So it really is a form of suicide. And I think when we look at the high levels of suicide attempts in the transgender and gay community of teenagers, I think when you ask the question, what can they do, is what can we do? Because the issues of that marginalization and those feelings of inadequacy really come from a racist, homophobic, sexist society that is inflexible and is taking too damn long to change. And so I think everybody has to step up to the plate, and we have to be ready to verbally as well as otherwise crush people like Donald Trump and others who are speaking in code. I think it's time now for many of us to stop allowing people to speak in code. And as I'm on that subject, I think it's also important for the so-called straight community, I hate these terms, or the gay community, or whatever it is, to stop being polarized and feeling the need to jump as much on categorization of people as if look at the need that children, gay children, transgender children, black children, Latino children, the students with disabilities are taking themselves out, and it's because of the overarching attitudes that this society continues to cling to.
How can people get information about the Promise Play School Gala?
They should go online and go to promiseplayschool.org, and we expect you all to be there. If you can't be there, send in a donation. The only way for evil to triumph is for good men and women, gay or straight or transgender, to do nothing. And so we need people to support these kind of efforts. They benefit and help our entire community. And we're going to be doing music that comes from the Motown songbook as well as some original pieces. One of the pieces I'm going to feature is a piece I wrote for the Children's Defense Fund many years ago, but they never got to use it formally, but I've used it all over the world, called Blessed Are the Children. And it talks about what we need to do as adults in terms of public policy and our own personal biases to move all that to the side and work on behalf of these children.
What projects are you working on?
I'm working on a new CD, which is titled Prescriptions, and it's like opening up your medicine cabinet and pulling out witch hazel and some of those products that we don't use anymore. So I've dusted off many of those old songs that helped me to figure out love, helped me to figure out my own identity, helped me to get over hard times, helped me to cope with being a black man with some brains in America. And so I'm going to be doing songs that go back, songs like Love Ballad done by LTD and Jeffrey Osborne. We're doing When Sunny Gets Blue, which really was my first encounter with Johnny Mathis and all that he represented in that beautiful voice. And songs like Alfie by Dionne Warwick. So I'm going back old school and pulling out all those great lyrics and doing those wonderful songs. I'm going to reinterpret Michael Jackson's Man in the Mirror, because that's what we're really talking about. We're talking about each person, no matter who they are, what they are, looking in the mirror and recognize what is your role going to be within this society.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
Yes, I think the question people can ask me comes in the form retired, Larry, at your age now, and all of the pushing cars up hills with ropes that you've had to do over your life. And I would answer the old James Cleveland gospel song that says, I don't feel no ways tired, the double black negative. I've come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me the road would be easy, but I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me here. In my bad voice, I'll sing it for you. I don't feel no ways tired. I've come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me the road would be easy. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me.